is a Western Agency Company production.
Today's football. In one of the most glittering bits of today's football action, the powerful University of Washington Huskies added cleverness to their power to defeat USC and practically cinched their claim to be Western representative in the Rose Bowl. To make their victory all the more convincing, the smoothly functioning Huskies roared through the tilt without the services of their ace back, Vi Haynes, who nursed injuries on the bench. But they produced a new mail packer for Haynes' special scoring deliveries. The Huskies and Trojans battled through a scoreless first period. Almost every Southern California thrust was parried on the no-pay side of the field, while the Washingtonians, though they did penetrate frequently into Trojan territory, were unable to click consistently enough to reach touchdown soil. Then, on the first play of the second quarter, it happened. Washington seemed worried over...
After that first scoreless quarter, folks, they're lined up now for the start of the second period. It's Washington's ball, you know. First down, 10 yards to go on Southern California's 45. We're just about set for action. Washington coming out of the huddle. At center over the ball is Wyattrack. Shift is to the right. Waskowitz back. Ball comes to Waskowitz. He's going right. Starts out as though a run around the right end. It's a fake, however. It's a reverse. No, a reverse this time to Kane. And he's breaking around his own left end into the clear. There's no one near him as he crosses the line of scrimmage. Someone is downfield blocking out Schindler in the USC secondary. That's Peters. Washington end. And Kane is traveling on down to the 20. Now to the 15, the 10, the 5. And he's over to a Husky touchdown in the University.
That first touchdown by Kane settled the game. A pass from Waskowitz to Peters in that same second quarter gave Washington a second but unnecessary touchdown. The score remained unchanged and the game ended Washington 12, University of Southern California nothing. Before 80,000 pay customers in New York's Yankee Stadium, the favorite Army had two early game drives smothered by Notre Dame's Ramblers and went into defensive warfare tactics to absorb a 20-6 beating. At the start of the game, the West Pointers marched to the Notre Dame 5 to be stopped when a pass was knocked down, and then minutes later marched to the Notre Dame 7 where their drive was halted in the line. Halfback Bob Wilkie engineered the first Notre Dame touchdown by tossing a 45-yard pass to Pupulis, and then tearing off regular gains to go over from the one-yard line just before the bark of the halftime gun. Wilkie scored again in the third period from Army 15 on a beautiful fake pass and delayed buck play. Pupulis tallied the third Notre Dame touchdown and kicked 2 out of 3 extra points. The crowd was starting to desert when Army scored, but the Cadets' 6 points were chalked up in the most brilliant action of the game as Army midget Bank Monk Meyer took a Notre Dame kickoff and twisted up the field 65 yards to score. In Portland's Multnomah Stadium, the Stanford Indian and Oregon State Beavers played a dream game that ended with Stanford the winner only after a storybook finish that saw the Indians go over half the length of the field in 3 plays to beat the final gun and avert a 1-point defeat. A Stanford fumble gave Oregon State the impetus for their first touchdown. Taking the ball in the Indian 36, the Beavers rolled over the goal line in 8 plays, chiefly through the nifty ball packing of left half Joe Gray. Hutchins converted, making it 7-0 for Oregon State. 2 Stanford touchdown drives, one terminated by Joe Vigna, the other by Jimmy Kofus, gave Stanford a 13-7 lead at the half. The rest of the scoring came in the last 3 minutes of play. With that much time remaining, Gray ended an Oregon State parade by flipping a 15-yard pass into the end zone for a score. Hutchins again converted, and Oregon State led 14-13. It looked bad for the boys from Palo Alto as they went back to receive the kick for the
Stanford now is playing against time, folks. I don't think it can be done. Those Stanford boys, however, haven't given up hope. They're anxiously awaiting the Oregon State kickoff. Oregon State's taking plenty of time. They're leading 14-13 with about 2 minutes of game time remaining up there on the scoreboard clock. Oregon State set for the kickoff. Gray lined up behind the ball, moves forward now, boots it. It's true down the center of the field, high, coming down on the Stanford 15-yard line. There is taken by Kopas. He gathers it in, starts for the sidelines, back to the 25, now to the 30, the 35, the 40, and he's crossed out of bounds on the 47-yard line it is. And it's Jocelyn who knocked out Kopas on the 47. The ball's being brought in rapidly now, 10 yards from the sideline. First down, 10 yards to go for Stanford. About a minute and a half of play remaining in the ball game. Out of the huddle, up to the line of scrimmage. The ball is snapped back to Calvelli. He's fading, going deep, going to toss a pass, and there it goes. A long forward pass in the flat zone out to the right is taken by Stone. The Stanford end on the dead run. He's down to the 15, the 10, the 5, and he's hit out of bounds by Gray on the 5-yard line. And it's now Stanford's ball. First and goal to go on the Oregon State 5. Lined up now. Chuchibus over the ball at center. The snap of the ball puts it in the hands of Calvelli. He darts into the line, drives for 2-3, and he stops short of the goal line. Stanford has driven to the 2-yard line. A matter of seconds to go in the ball game as Stanford is up to the line of scrimmage once again. The Indians moving fast now. Again, the ball is snapped back to Tiny Calvelli. He smacks hard into the center of the line, rolls over and over, and it's a touchdown. And Calvelli scores for Stanford, making it 20 for Stanford, 14 for Oregon State. What a finish of a great ball game, ladies and gentlemen.
An amazingly strong pack of Washington State Cougars knocked the Rose Bowl aspirations of the UCLA Bruins all over the Los Angeles Coliseum field to win 32-7. For the first half, it was anybody's game with each team touchdowning and converting. But after the halftime rest, it was all Cougars as their revamped backfield of Goddard, Daugherty, Littlefield, and Zuger ran and passed the Euclid's Dizzy. The play that broke the tie and started the Cougars parading came early in the third quarter. Goddard and Littlefield poured power at the Bruin line to run the ball from the UCLA 48 to the 22. Then the great Goddard fired a bullet pass at right end Terry, and Terry went over untouched for the score. Fans crowded into Palmer Stadium at Princeton, New Jersey, witnessed what will rank as one of the most memorable comebacks of sport in the struggle between Princeton and Yale. During the first half, it was a Princeton holiday as the Tigers scored almost at will. But later, the situation was reversed.
And here we are in the third period, friends, of this unbelievable ball game between Princeton and Yale. It's timeout for Princeton, so here's a brief summary for those who have just tuned in. In the first half, it was Princeton battering Yale relentlessly, as had been predicted, rolling up a total of 19 points. Yale, however, has come back strong in the third quarter of the game. We've never seen a football team come back equally strong. Sparked by an unstoppable 175-pound halfback, Clinton Frank, the Bulldogs have pounded through Princeton's defense for 2 touchdowns. Yale is back now on its own 35. Time is in again. There goes Frank again. He's fading back to pass. Can this inspired boy keep up this super stunt? The Princeton Yens are chasing him. He might be thrown back there for a loss, but no. He's getting that ball away from his own 25. A long forward pass down the field goes Larry Kelly, taking that pass on the dead run on the Princeton 15. And believe it or not, he has gotten away from the Tiger safety man. He's on to the 5 and over the goal line for a touchdown. It's put Yale out ahead, 20 to Princeton's 19. What a great forward pass. What a comeback this Yale team.
Frank kept going after that. Princeton managed another touchdown to go into a 23-20 lead. But Frank led Yale on another goal-crossing expedition, and the Yales finished winners 26-23, overcoming a 19-point handicap in 30 minutes of play. The University of California's Bears handed Oregon's Ducks their fifth straight conference defeat at Berkeley, drifting through the visitors by land and air to win 28-0. Their first touchdown came just before the half, and it tells the story of the lopsided win. Vic Bateri, California back, pitched 2 long passes for the tally, the second going 28 yards to Henry Sparks, who scored. After that, the boys from Eugene, Oregon were nervous about passes and played their defensive back so far down the field that Kyle found it easy to crack the line and easier to capitalize on short forwards and leisurely laterals. Bateri lanked off tackle for the second touchdown. Sparks blanketed an Oregon punt blocked by McAteer over the goal for the third scoreboard raise. Jack Howard capped a 36-yard California drive with an off-tackle scamper for the final Bear score. Oregon, in the fourth quarter, marched to the California 2, but lost the ball on a fumble, and, we repeat, lost the game in a breeze 28-0. Nebraska's great football crusher rolled out an early touchdown against Pittsburgh in their vital intersectional battle at Lincoln. Nebraska's twin aces, Sam Francis and Lloyd Cardwell, caromed inside and off pit tackles to get into scoring position, where on the pit 21-yard line, the Cornhuskers flipped a touchdown pass. In the last 2 minutes of their first half, however, a Pittsburgh machine that slowly gained momentum ran completely out of the Nebraskans' control. The Panthers had advanced within striking distance, with Nebraska fighting desperately.
Pittsburgh is back again at the Nebraska goal, friends. Just a few minutes ago, you know, Pittsburgh's substitute fullback, Arnold Green, bounced over from the 2-yard line, tying the score at 6-6. And now Pittsburgh is threatening once again. This Pitt team that started out as though due for a beating today has completely changed and is now dominating Nebraska on virtually every play. It's on the Nebraska 3-yard line now. Pitt's lined up, Goldberg barking the signals, the ball goes back. It's to Green again. Green sees the goal light, smacks across that Cornhusker intersection with a terrific speed. He may have scored. Yes, Green has gone over for his second touchdown in 5 minutes of play against mighty Nebraska. And Pittsburgh is now leading 12-6. This is a changed Pittsburgh team, and I don't have to assure you that Pitt is fighting it out.
Pitt kept up its dominating play to move down the field on passes in the fourth quarter and move another sub back, Johnny Urban, over for the third counter. Final score of the game, which, in the last survey, Pitt ran away with after a poor start, was Pittsburgh 19, Nebraska 6. And now for some quick flashes on today's football, presenting a view of the other high spots of this exciting day. To your questions of who won the other big games and how, here are the answers.
Alabama maintained its unbeaten record of fighting off a terrific last drive of Georgia Tech to win 20-16. Alabama's three touchdowns, every one due directly or indirectly to passes, were all scored in the first two periods.
The golden-helmeted Tigers of Louisiana State had too much power and class for the stubborn Auburn 11, winning 19-0 by virtue of a sustained scoring march, a clever over-the-goal pass to Tiger N. Tinsley, and a 90-yard pay dirt gallop by Fleet Jesse Milner.
The Minnesota Gophers closed their home football season by steamrolling Texas 47-19. The Gophers fell into their touchdown habits in the first quarter of the game and didn't ease up until the final period, when all of the Texas points were allowed. Smothered Texas achieved one dubious distinction in the drubbing, that of tallying more points against the Gophers than all other opponents combined have been able to manage this season.
Five-time defeated Michigan lost their sixth game, but the Wolverines had no excuse for the battle they gave Northwestern, though it ended Northwestern 9 and Michigan nothing. Big Ten champs Northwestern went until the final 3 minutes with a lead of only 3 points, and then Toff barely bucked over another 6 points from the 1-yard line.
Indiana's top-flight quarterback Vern Huffman passed and ran the Maroons of the University of Chicago until they saw red, to lead Indiana to a 20-7 victory. Chicago scored on a wild, nothing-to-lose pass in the last 15 seconds of play.
And that sounds the gun on our news and views of today's football.